hard to tell with the fans. Good morning. Glad you could be here today. Believe it or not, we are almost done with our series on the Beatitudes and the promises made there. And I wanted to recap a few of those. And actually, this is the whole series, and I just put the situation here on the left. And I was thinking about how this works. You know, I was watching. You know, Tony Robbins is a motivational speaker. Someone asked him, "What's your purpose?" Satisfaction and fulfillment, but this is different. Those who are poor in spirit will see the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn will be comforted. And I go, wow, that's a different message. It's a different message of, and the Christian message is that we struggle with sin. Every person in the world struggles with sin, and we have these different philosophies, but you can offer this to a person who's struggling. To a person who's poor in spirit, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but to a person who's mourning, we mourn death, we mourn loss, we mourn injustice, there's so many things that we mourn. If you go to them and say, "Would you like to tear open life and get all you can out of it right now? Would you, how did you feel about that? My name is Tony Robbins. Would you like to pay $1,000 and come to my seminar? And I'll guarantee $1,000 back if you don't." Being a little sarcastic, I apologize. We know that wouldn't be appropriate, right? There are times in life that struggles come that are debilitating sometimes. What can you offer them? You can offer them a promise from God. It's not just a promise that God will end, because God actually acts on these things. And he will. There is a comfort for someone who's mourning. You could say, there's a comfort from the Lord that I don't have in me, but a comfort from God that can come into your life. Some right now, a lot later, but it can come into your life in whatever your struggle is. And some of our struggles are common, and some of our struggles are unique to our situation. There's a comfort from God. If you're struggling and you're poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is yours. That is an un-American message, isn't it? The kingdom of heaven is yours if you're poor in spirit. The world, and especially in America, really there is a lot of opportunity in our country to make your own life and make it the way you want, and you can build a case that you can do a lot of things here with the freedom and mobility we have. But it says the kingdom of heaven goes to those who are in spirit. That's an amazing promise. Have you ever been poor in spirit? I have. Some of us more than others. The kingdom of heaven is promised. It is so countercultural. It's so different from the way the world thinks. The meek. Okay, we're going to give you a test here. I didn't put the answers up. There's a promise to those who are meek. What is it? The meek will inherit the earth. You know, there's a pastor who wrote a book, and I'm not trying to make fun of him. I think it's a book, one of the 6, he said, you can have your best life, you know, now. You guys know this. Your best life now. Now. I'm not trying to pick on him, but as a concept, is that a biblical message? If this is my best life now, I might be going to hell. Right? If this is my best life, is that really all of these promises? There is a reward and a comfort and an inheritance that comes later. You can't live the Christian life. That's, and I don't know the whole context of what he was saying, but that's really a message from the world. If you go too far with it, that you can have your best life now. We live for God's principles now, and it's harder, and our best life is later. It's later. And we may not look great to the world now. So that's where we're going in these promises today. And believe it or not, we are a third from the end. We're talking about being a peacemaker. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? We have only two left after that. But these are radical promises for our lives and for other people to learn. This is how it really works. This is how it really works. This is how, in the end, everyone will find out this is how life really works. When God promises something, there's comfort, there's an inheritance, there's the kingdom of heaven, which is hard to see now. So that's where we're going. And the thing I'm going to ask you is to consider, however you think about yourself and your life and your situation, that can you grow and can God use you and me in being a peacemaker? Why don't we pray and we'll get started into that this morning. Lord, thank you. You've called us to follow you and to be with you and to live by your ways. Sometimes, Lord, we can see what you're doing and often we can't. It's so hard to see ahead. Thank you that you see. Thank you that you are preparing things that we don't even understand. One day, Lord, thank you. You're sovereign. Help me today. Help us today to understand this promise and to believe for ourselves, for our lives, for our families. All right, let's actually look at the promise, the verse. This is Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This is the ESV translation. Don't get hung up on it's the word sons. Some translations say children of God, depending on which one you read. But it's saying you will be called. If you make peace in a hard situation, if you help that come about, you will be called a son or a person or a child of God. So, what is a peacemaker? I looked this up. It's not a word we use a lot. There is an airplane, a Convair, maybe it's called the B-36. It's one of the big, at the time, it was one of the biggest airplanes, a big bomber. It was called the Peacemaker. I don't think that's what we're talking about here. That's the wrong way. That's a way to bring about peace. But that's not what we're talking about here. Peacemaker is a noun. And it's a person, surprisingly, who brings about peace by helping to reconcile adversaries, people who are on opposite sides. Now, as a message for the church, boy, can you see the need for this today? We are separated as a culture, as a society, into so many different warring factions and different sides. It seems like to me that there is more conflict and arguing today than I can remember in the past. The need for this and for people to help in this is very great today. So a peacemaker is someone who helps reconcile people who are on opposite sides, who enters into a situation and helps do that. So if you're going to think about your life, going, okay, can I do that? God may call you to do that in some situations, in some not. But can you do that? So I want to look at this other phrase, the second phrase, that they shall be called sons of God. I think the NIV says children of God, and I just wanted to comment about that. This is not the normal way the Bible refers to mankind as a son of God or a child of God or a person of God. It's really the opposite, and I'm going to Ephesians as the reference point. This is Paul talking to the church in Ephesus. He says, among whom we once lived in the passions of our flesh. So Paul was talking about, with the Ephesians, about his former life and their former life before they were Christians, carrying out the desires of our body, which meant we were really subject to whatever our bodies wanted. And mind, we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That's the normal way the Bible talks about people. They are children of wrath. They're not children of God, they're children of wrath. So part of being called a child of God or related to God is recognized through bringing peace to situations, because that's not normal. I don't know if you've ever met people who, I'm sure you have, they seem to be angry an awful lot. Have you met people like that? Angry all the time, and sometimes they want to share it with others. Have you met people like that? Not here, of course, but somewhere else. Sometimes we get angry, sometimes we deal with it well, sometimes we don't. Sometimes it takes time to deal with it. I know I've fallen into that as a guy. Sometimes I'm not too in touch with my emotions, and they come up later. But that's the situation. So let's look now at situations that need peace. So, this is the dangerous part of the service, where I ask you for input. I remember Family Feud, Richard Dawson, when you would have things go ding and go, what, you know, survey says? Well, there's no survey, there's only what I thought of on the board. So, I thought of a few situations. I'll be Richard Dawson. What are some situations that need peace today? And you have to guess them in the order that I did because of the way PowerPoint works. Sorry. Any suggestions, situations that could use some peace today? Yes. You are correct. That stole my thunder because that's my last one. Very good. Barbie went right for the best one. Yeah, very good. Yes. Yes, between people. Now, big round of applause for Angie. I picked disagreement between friends. Ding, 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 survey says. Anyone else? Yeah, people. What? Evil and good. I don't know if we're going to reconcile evil and good. No, that's good. That's true. That's true. They are in conflict, right? So I'm going to expand on Angie's point into detail, because I went into, I'm thinking situations between friends, difficulties between family members. Actually, this happened in my family. You know, we used to meet with a lot of our relatives, and then somewhere when I was a kid, a conflict developed, and I noticed that there were certain relatives we just didn't see it. I really didn't know I was a kid, but it made me kind of sad. No one resolved the conflict, and years went by. Okay. Any other suggestions? Applause for Greg. Yes, Greg, got it. So we had disagreements between husband and a wife. That never happens, so we'll skip by that. And the one Greg guessed. Here's Barbie. Now we need to give a round of applause to Barbie because she guessed the most important one. But we'll talk about that a little later. Political ideas and ideology. Now I do have some social media outlets, and if I look at social media, at least least the stuff I use, it seems like, really, politics is the new faith. Like, people have so much faith in their policy or their candidate, and they talk about that all the time, like, it can really fix sin in the sinful world. It'll really fix that. I just don't think there's enough power in those things. So, I do want to go back to this for just a second. Disagreements in husband and wife. Boy, it is really helpful. We have, not just we, but counseling ministries to help people who get stuck. It's easy to get stuck in a long-term relationship and not need someone to help facilitate some peace in a situation. So these are some situations. But I would argue one issue that came up first is peace between man and God is our greatest, biggest struggle, is to help that to be known. We're going to talk about that later. So thank you. You guys did amazingly well. I don't know what you win from that, but you did very well. So if we have these situations that are in the world that need some help, and each one is different in that involve different people and different dynamics. But how do you help people with this situation? And I have just three suggestions here that you could do, and you need to pray about these things because they're complex. But you, if you run into this, how do you help people? So one could be ask them if they would agree to talk, if they would agree to talk together. Another thing you can, now sometimes, I don't know if you've done this, but I have, I'll sometimes, if I'm not sure they're open to this, they really don't desire to reconcile, I'll say, what do you think about this idea? What do you think about meeting with the other person and talking about this? And you can kind of tell. Sometimes people say, well, I probably should do that. Yeah, you're probably right. That's a good sign. But if they say, are you crazy? Me meet with them? That's not a good sign. That there's an openness right now to work on that. That if you brought these two parties together with that, it might not go well. Something else you could do is try reasoning with them. Hey, can we talk about this? What are you really upset about? A lot of times people aren't, because anger is such a powerful emotion, sometimes people aren't even really sure. It helps to have someone they can talk through what happened and give a little perspective. Sometimes it can help if you help the person respect the other person. Kind of, there's an old saying of, is it put on the other person's shoes or stand in the other person's shoes, and trying to be in their situation and see it from the other person's perspective. So that might be something that you could do in some situations to try to help bring peace. So it turns out that, I know these are like theoretical concepts sometimes, and well, how do those practically work? But luckily, we happen to have a situation where two roommates have agreed to talk this through, this situation, this conflict they're having on stage today. And I did know about this situation. I did ask them to if they would be willing to do this, and they both said yes. So I'm going to tell you about these two young ladies, and thank you for agreeing in advance to do this, a little bit about their situation. They're both going to college, they're both roommates, and they're going to IUPUI in Indianapolis, but they're here this weekend to talk about this conflict. Now, they don't know what the other person is going to say yet, and I don't know what they're going to say yet. So we're going to see how this goes. So with that, we have Alice and Nicole are going to come up, and I'm going to give them a microphone each so we can see what they're going to say.
pretty good. We've been hanging out a lot, studying together, grades have gone up. Really like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We see him a lot at the house.
Yeah, it's all nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been every night for 3 months.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
But I'm glad your grades are going up. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind if we talked about a few things?
Sure.
Okay. So, the other girls and I have been wanting to do other things with the common space sometimes. And sometimes it's been a little difficult to do that when you and Brad are already in there studying at the dining room table or watching a movie together. And it's just been a little hard for us to do things.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but I feel like you guys aren't exactly doing anything that important. Is it really that hard for you to let us have that space at night?
We're happy to share the common space. That's a good thing. But, you know, Rachel's going out to the library every night because she needs a big table to spread her studies out, and she's getting a little tired of doing that. And
why doesn't she just buy a bigger table?
Really room in her bedroom for a bigger table.
Well, I mean, that sucks for her.
And Jessica and I were hoping we could have some girl nights thrown in every now and then, and with Brad always being around, it's hard to get to spend time with you.
Well, I mean, you're welcome to join us. Brad's not that much of a distraction. Just tell him to be a little quieter.
There's been another issue, if you don't mind my bringing it up, too. You know, we have a common food grocery, like milk and bread, we get that, but we also have some special things, and Rachel has this, you know, she's trying to do a dirty diet right now, and so she's buying organic and special foods. We've been noticing that those special foods sometimes start disappearing. And she's checked, and I haven't been eating them. Jessica hasn't been eating them. We wonder, are you and Brad eating them?
I mean, we kind of just go to the fridge and take whatever looks good at the time. It doesn't seem like a big deal. It is just food.
Okay. So if she marks it as hers, can you try to not eat her food? Because she's spending a lot of money on her food, and she's pleased when it's gone.
I mean, we'll do our best. There's no other food that's better.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you so much. So, I put those ladies on the spot this morning and did not give them much guidance, and you guys did way better than I thought. So thank you so much. I was trying to show a little bit of what happens when Hannah, when there's a little resistance to wanting to acknowledge what's really happening. It gets much more difficult. Now you could see Laura here is playing. You're Nicole, right? Yeah, was playing Nicole, and when you're not sure if the person's receptive, you're kind of tentative. You're kind of going, "Hey, can we talk about this? Is that okay?" And they're pretending, right? This is all pretend. In real life, it makes a big difference. So the reality is. And we know this in life, and we know how it affects us. Even in a pretend situation, Laura's a little tentative of going, hey, is it okay if we talk about this, right? Which is a good, respectful way to bring up a topic. So thank you so much, ladies. That was very good. Made my point. There are times, and I asked Hannah to be a little stubborn. So thank you, because I didn't tell her how to do that. I appreciate that. Sometimes people don't really want to concede or acknowledge what's really happening. So if you're going to be a peacemaker, you're going to run into situations where you're going to try a little bit and you're going to hit this resistance. Is it really that big of a deal? Why doesn't she buy a bigger table? That was really good. But I asked her to do that. I asked her to be a little, you know, why is it my problem that you guys are up to? You know, why is it my issue? So you're going to hit some resistance, and I'll give you just a suggestion here. If you can't, it's hard to bring peace in a situation when things like that happen. And James, this is an interesting verse, talks about an order of some of God's character and principles here. So let's look at this, James 3:17. If you run into that, but the wisdom of God is first pure and peaceable and gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere. So the wisdom of God is first pure and then peaceable. So there are times, if you're trying to bring peace, that you may have to choose between pure and peace. And what I mean by that is, you may have to choose between making a compromise and bringing peace. Sometimes you cannot bring peace in situations where people really don't want it. And if you have to choose for yourself between those two, between a compromise that makes you uncomfortable and having peace, it's better to choose purity. The wisdom of God is first pure. So if you run into that situation, that's just something for you to think about, that if bringing peace, if the person is resistant to acknowledging what's really happening, peace may not come to this situation today or in this moment or in this interaction, and you can't change that. But God is very good at softening people's hearts and bringing circumstances when people are resistant and stubborn, because that brings a consequence. So you can't fix those things. You're just learning about the situation. So sometimes, let's see here. Sometimes there's a difference between peace and not fighting. I'm going to give you an analogy here. When I was young, there was a kid down the street named Ronald, and I used to go down because he was the closest kid to my house. And we would go down and play. We would play baseball and stuff like that in the summer and just hang out. Or after school, it was common for me to go down there. And we got into this argument one day. It was a very serious situation. One of us hit the ball into the woods, and we were arguing about who was going to go get it. I can't remember if I hit it or he hit it or whatever, but it was far away, and we were arguing, and we ended up in a fist fight. We just ended up in a fight, a physical fight. And we were young, so we didn't really beat each other up too severely. But we ended up in a fight. Now, it turns out Ronald's mother was home at his house. She came out, and she yelled for us to stop. And we stopped. Ronald stopped fighting. And for a brief moment, she was discussing this loudly with Ronald and I, that we were fighting, and I took advantage of the opportunity. I listened for a little while, and Ronald turned and walked away, and I was still angry. And I ran after him and tackled him right in front of his mother. At which point, his mother got very upset at me. Now, for a brief moment, we were not fighting. Peace is a reconciliation. You cannot be fighting in the moment, but have no reconciliation of the issue. You can have no peace. And so, part of what we're trying to do is to have reconciliation enter into a situation. That's what we're trying to see. So, three suggestions there, and this is what two young ladies portrayed in a pretty good way, is to bring peace, there has to be some recognition of what's really happening. Of what's really happening and what the problem is. What's the problem? It bothers me that you're eating all of our food, and we need that. What do you mean? Is that really a big deal? It's just food. It's just there. We eat what looks good. Is it, if you're good, and we see this, people are minimizing that. There's not an acknowledgement of what's really happening. So that's one of the things, is can you bring about an acknowledge, not harp on it or beat people with the truth, but bring in people who are repentant are willing to acknowledge their part of the situation. Repentance. What is repentance? Repentance. The word repent literally means to be on a path, to turn in a different direction. In Alice's case, you're right. I agree. I apologize. We didn't really think about it, but we've been eating food that the other roommates need. I'm sorry. Can we buy some of that for you, or we compensate you, and let's label it, and we won't do that anymore. That's repentance. Stop. And then reconciliation is, will you forgive us for that? So weren't really aware, but we understand why that could be bothersome. So in your situation, can you do that, or would you need to do that with someone else? So we talked a little bit ago about sometimes people don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. And Jesus talked about the matter of the heart. When they don't want to do that, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. When they don't want to do that, he talked to the Pharisees, he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now the thing that we often notice, and it happens a lot today, is that people blame others for their discontentment, for their anger, and they won't take ownership often for their own situation or their own responsibility, and they blame others. But that's bitterness in the heart. So I'll give you a few things you can look for, a few questions that can be revealing about bitterness. Okay? So, if you noticed cutting remarks about another person, and this is a reflective thing, this is stated in the first person, like you are doing this, but this applies to anyone. You make demeaning remarks about someone. What causes resentment towards someone else? Here's an interesting one. If you were hurt by someone, do you need to hang on to that? Does the person hang on to that instead of forgiving them? Do you need that? Do they need that? Why not just forgive the other person instead of letting it go? Is there something that causes us to be envious or jealous? So the reason I've moved this into the first person is because God calls us to do this ourselves. Romans 12:18. If possible, so much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Different translation, as much as it's up to you, be at peace with all men, with all people. So God is saying that as Christians, we are supposed to put effort into having nothing in our between us and someone else. So if you find any of those questions, resentment, bitterness, the people you don't want to talk to, he's not saying you expose yourself to abuse, but he's saying for your part, no one should have anything against you. So whenever you can reconcile that, you do. That's your part. That's our responsibility as Christians. So I'm going to wrap up here and get to the part of what can you do? Can we grow in becoming peacemakers? For our own part, we're supposed to examine our own heart and do this first with ourselves. If we don't do this with ourselves, then people we know, family members, co-workers, put things behind us, it'll be hard to do with anyone else. It's hard to bring peace with anyone else. I found the company I used to work for, the company president was really in charge of advancement and compensation, and I found that I had developed some resentment over how much money I was making and other people were advancing faster than I was, and I didn't know it. And one day he was talking with me about an executive position. This was like the vice presidential level, move up in the company. But I had felt like up to this point, he had kept me in a certain spot. There are things I didn't like about the company. And he said, what do you think about moving up to this position? What do you think about taking this and fixing this struggle and these problems we had? And I looked at him and I said, this is the president. I looked at him and I said, you fix it yourself. That was the beginning of the end of my career there. When you tell the president, I had resentment in my heart. I didn't know it. It bothers me to this day because I lost my chance to reconcile. I didn't lose my chance, but I thought I would always have a chance to share with him, and he actually developed liver trouble and died suddenly. It bothers me to this day that I never had a chance to share with him, and I got stuck on that. So examine your heart. You may find that. You may find that. Sometimes talking with someone else helps reveal some of those. Next, the next thing you can do is offer God's solutions. We need this so much today. Greg had mentioned the wrangling over political issues. Isn't it obvious that peace from God is so needed today? Even in that arena, because there's so many arguments going on, but peace from God is so needed. So if you can help bring that into the situation, God will use you uniquely. It says you will be called the Son of God. I don't know about you, I've been called a lot of things. Sometimes a jerk. I had actually been called the Antichrist on the internet. Someone said that I was the Antichrist. Another member in the church said, well, this should make the church service interesting. But some of the best compliments I've ever had. I had one person say once, he said, and this is not true of me, but all the time, but he said, how come you're always talking about God? One of the best compliments I ever had. Someone were to, when you bring peace into a situation, people can see something that's not of the earth because God is working. God is working. And the last thing you can do is engage with other people. That they have the best chance to see God working. This is something my wife and I have been working on. We're looking at the relationships we have and how can we engage with people, with young people in the community that they have the best chance to see who God is. This was Paul's main mission as a minister of the gospel, like Barbie had said, to bring reconciliation between man and God. God did the work. But we communicate the message. How do people have the best chance to learn about that? It's being connected in life through other people. You know, it's easier not to be connected. Sometimes I get frustrated, sometimes, with foolishness, let's say. With foolishness. I don't want to deal with some of the foolishness of youth and some of the, and there's a verse that says, where the stable is clean, but where there is no ox, the stable is clean, but much labor comes from the increase of an ox. And I go, you know, sometimes I don't want to clean up, but a lot comes. become, it's messier dealing with people. It's messier in life, but it's better because we have the best chance to labor and work together. Anyway, that's what I wanted to share this morning. If you do this in a new way, if God uses you in a new way, we'll have the music team come up and we'll pray. If you do that, you will be called from God. People will see something unique about who God is. Let me pray that God would do that in a new way for us. God, thank you that you want to use us in a new way. You want to use us to show yourself. I pray that you help us to have confidence.